Welcome to the Derek Loudermilk Show. This is episode 384 with Bonnie Halper. Bonnie Halper is a very interesting person. She has a 3D life as an entrepreneur that we're going to talk about, and a much deeper metaphysical spiritual life that we'll also talk about. I encountered Bonnie because she's a super connector. I participate in a global super connectors group, and as I got to know her, I thought, oh my gosh, I have to get Bonnie on the show, because she has mentored, worked with, helped out the founders of so many of the companies that shape our world today, from Steve Jobs to Bill Gates to the founders of Google to Jerry Yang, who founded Yahoo, to Reid Hoffman, who founded LinkedIn, and so many more of these people who shaped the internet and our world. But she's also been channeling since she was 4 years old. She was trained in a mystery school. She lives on a power center in the middle of Pennsylvania. There are so many magical things about Bonnie that I'm excited to have her tell you about in this interview. So she's really been immersed in these two worlds, and she's very clear about why she's here on the planet now at this time, and why she had to participate in the creation, so to speak, of the rise of the internet. So without further ado, here is the fantastic Bonnie Halper.
Oh, as I was saying, you know, I'm working on a treatment for a series and a book, which is going to be two books. And it all started when a friend of mine who is a regular reader of my newsletter, and who I know personally, called me one day when he was working. Oh, he had a treatment in at a major Hollywood studio that was very interested. They had greenlighted it, and he decided he wanted a woman's voice. And he called me and he said, this is what it's about. I said, whoa, it's based on something that, an event that everybody in the world knows about. And it's the story of a very high-placed person in this cabal. And I said, very interested. I said, why are you calling me? He said, because you have a way of taking the most serious subjects and infusing humor. And I think that's what this needs. I said, you know, would love to work on it. Never want to meet any of the principals. Just so far removed from anything in my life. But yes, very interested. So he submitted. So he was telling me some of the things that are going on and very high level things that were being, that, I'm sorry, information that was being imparted by people in very high levels of various governments around the world. And I said, oh, yeah, for example, you know, UFOs. I said, oh, yeah, that's, you know, Project Blue Book. And he said, oh, and I'm starting to talk about it. And I said, oh, and he talks about the weather experiments. I said, oh, yeah, that's HARP. And I start talking about it. And he starts talking about experiments in time. I said, well, that's kind of the Montauk Project and the Philadelphia experiment. And I start talking about it. And he said, all right, stop. He said, how do you know all this? I said, well, it's all a matter of public information. He said, yes, but you're saying things that this woman is saying that is not public information. Where are you getting your information from? I said, oh, much you don't know about me, grasshopper. Then he said, tell me. I said, I was trained by a mystery school teacher. So he starts Googling it, you know, doing this over the phone. And I said, I can't find any information about mystery schools. I said, because they're called mystery schools. He said, well, how do you enroll? I said, you don't. He said, well, then how did you get to a mystery school teacher? I said, there's an expression, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You don't find them, they find you. Mm. This teacher found me when I was, 20? And then they try to get rid of you. They test you. They try to get rid of you. You have to go through all these tests, which I passed. So anyway, so he went back to the major Hollywood studio and said, yes, we have a woman. I have a woman, blah, 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 and this is her background. And the head of acquisition said, she's Harry Potter. She said, this is a much more interesting story than this other one, which is also a very interesting story. And so,
you're saying Okay, let me see if I can get this straight, because there's a lot of things
I
that you
know.
opened up already.
And I'm from New York, so I talk fast.
This is a project that you're currently working on. This is a book and a film. Is that right?
Yeah, probably a series.
Okay, cool. A series. And are you going to be in the series, or you're giving them guidance about what to put in the series? What's your role?
Oh, you mean my story or her story?
What's your role with this series? It wasn't quite clear.
Oh, there's the first project. Yes, I'll be a writer on that, but the second project is my story. Totally different, completely different.
Gotcha.
Based
So
on,
the series is about your story.
well, yes. Tenth of a
So,
man,
am I scooping
mystery
this
school.
series right now?
Excuse me?
Am I going to get the scoop here? Am I going to are we hearing it first here on the podcast?
Oh, well, that I'm working on the book and the treatment? Sure.
Okay, and you said treatment?
Oh, treatment for a series.
Treatment for a series. I'm not
A
familiar
TV
with
series.
that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I my background before tech was entertainment. So I think that everybody knows these expressions. It's like when I have a background in journalism too, and I said, oh, you know, I wrote this crazer. And he said, what? Oh, a crazer. It's a curtain raiser. It's the headline. It's the teaser for a news article. It's called a crazer. But most people don't know that. So now you know. See, I'm
Now I
parting all
know.
this information.
Good. This is good. I'm taking notes already.
So anyway, yes, the my story is different. Not that it's autobiographical at all. Wink, wink, nod, nod, say no more. But yes, it's based on my experiences with a mystery school teacher. It's fascinating.
Okay, so let's talk about the mystery school teacher. You were 20 and they found you. How did that happen?
Oh, well, I was at work. I was working in advertising, my first job in advertising that agency. And I'm coming into the office one day, and I knew that they were, you know, making some hires. So there was a woman sitting in the lobby. I went over to her and I said, are you here for the copywriter job? She said, yes. How did you know? I said, well, you're going to get the job. She said, how do you know? She hadn't even been in for the interview. I said, because we're going to be best friends. So she kind of figured out that I was operating on a different, vibrating on a different level, as she said. Yes, she did get the job. Yes, we did become best friends.
And did you know that? How did you know?
I just knew.
Okay.
I've been channeling since I was 4 years old. Do you know, in case, you know what channeling is, right?
Yeah, what did it look like when you were four?
Oh, well, when I was four and I was out in the garden, I like to tell people that I was picking weeds. 4-year-olds don't pick weeds. I'll tell you what I was really doing. I like the smell of the tomato vines on my hand. So I used to go and I used to squeeze the tomato plant
Yeah,
vines.
me too.
And meat, so that's what I was doing. I wasn't picking weeds. 4-year-olds don't pick weeds. And I started getting all this information. I started hearing this voice in my head, and I was getting all this information about the men who worked for my father, and just all this different stuff. So I went and I found my big sister, and I said, why don't people talk about the people who talk inside your head? And she said, it's called thinking. And I knew that this was different. So I went and I found my mama, and I said, why don't people talk about the people who talk inside your head? And she said, well, what did they tell you, sweetheart? So I told her about the men who worked for my father and their backgrounds, which no 4-year-old would know. And I said, you know, daddy's going to look at a new place and he's going to come home with a black eye. And one of my cousins, I said, Shelly's going to have a baby on July 21st. My cousin was 15 and it was already July. So my mother said, well, you have the family gift. So whenever they talk to you, you come and you tell mama what they tell you. And here's how you protect yourself, because there's bad guys in the invisible world, just like there are in the real world. And she taught me exercises to protect myself. By the way, my father did look at the property about a week later, and he came home with a black eye. He had the key, the door was stuck, and it hit him, and he did jam it open, and it hit him in the eye, and he came home with a black eye. And my cousin did have a baby on July 21st, 6 years later when she was married.
Ah.
I was absolutely right.
Wow. And so your mom had the same thing? Same gift?
I'm sure she did. She said, "Do you have the family gift? Anybody can do it. It's just that it's social. I'm convinced anybody can do it. It's socialized out of kids. I'm convinced that when kids have their so-called invisible friends, no, they're not invisible friends. They're That's what I think.
I have a really interesting invisible friend story.
Oh, tell me.
When I was a kid, I had an invisible friend named Ami, and I don't remember that much about him, but he was around for a few years. But there is a world famous book called Ami of the Stars, and it's about a little alien that visits this South American kid and basically takes him up in his spaceship and tours him around a couple other planets to show what, a more evolved civilization looks like, gives him all these lessons. I think that is not a fiction book, but it's actually a real story written by the author. And I think it's the same being that visited the author that visited me.
I'm telling you, those are things an invisible friend.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're the same Ami. But this book is, it's sold like 10 million copies or something around the world. It's like it's a young adult and young kids book, I guess. So your mom knew right away what to
Oh, she knew
do.
exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Exactly what it was. And so, and she told me not to tell anybody. So don't tell anybody, just come and tell mama.
Okay.
I remember one night my parents used to go. I have five brothers and sisters. And they used to go around to all the kids' bedrooms at night, make sure everybody's sleeping, everybody was okay. And one day I remember and they thought I was sleeping. I was never sleeping. And I heard to my dad say to my mom, "You know, Bonnie's just about like the other kids." And my mother said, "Bonnie's Bonnie. She's fine. Leave her alone." And that was fine with him. Okay.
So you had brothers and sisters?
Yeah. Three brothers, two sisters. I was lucky. I also had very good parents who didn't think I was crazy and who nurtured it.
So let's go back to then when you were 20 again and you met this woman in your advertising agency. You said, we're going to be best friends. And how did you get into the mystery school from
Oh,
there?
I knew she was trying to figure out a way to get me to meet this woman. And she was older than I was. She was on the verge of getting married. And I was a dumb 20-year-old. But I had a serious breakup with a boyfriend, which of course 20-year-olds obsess. And Mary and I used to walk home together. And she said, "You must go see this woman, blah, blah, blah. And she's very good. And she's an astrologer therapist." And I didn't need a therapist. Which she was. She was a union therapist. And then Mary refused to speak to me until I went to see this woman. Oh my God. So I called her and I made an appointment and she said, "When's your birthday?" I said, "July." She said, "Didn't she tell you I always start with a chart?" I said, "I don't believe in astrology." She said, "That's okay, I do." So she said, "If you need to cancel, call me. If you don't show up and don't cancel, I will never see you." I said, "Got it." I didn't show up and I didn't call and cancel. And Mary went back to not speaking to me. So I called her back. This woman, I called her Yoda for a reason. So I called Yoda back. And she said, "Oh, yes, you didn't show up." And she said, "Don't you remember I told you if you didn't show up?" I said, "I remember." But she said, "Hold on a minute." And she pulls up my chart and she said, "Can you come in this evening?" Was like, wow. So I get there and I'm telling her my stupid boyfriend problems. And she didn't. She was sick of things like that. She was a grandmother. She's like, and she's listening, and then she's reading my chart. And it was brilliant what she was saying from the chart. And she said, and, she kept, and I kept telling her my silly little 20-year-old problems. And she said, "Are you sure that this is your chart?" I said, "I'm absolutely sure." I said, "My mother had six children, including a set of twins. She was up for every single one of the deliveries. And she knows to the second what time each of us was born." In fact, when I asked my mother what time I was born, she said, 461. Oh, 464. I said, "Mama, They're only 60 minutes in an hour. How could I have been born at 4:64? She said 4:06:04. She knew down to the second what time each of us was born, including a set of we're born 3 minutes apart. Yeah. So, and Yoda kept asking me, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes. Why do you keep asking me this?" She said, "I've been waiting for someone, and you have the chart, but it's not you." I said, "Well, I'm sorry." And so, you're brilliant. I want to come and see you again. She said, "You don't need therapy. You don't have problems. You have little puzzles that you can figure out yourself." Said, "I will see you for three sessions, and that's it. Go and sin no more." I showed up the three times, and every time she kept asking me, "Are you sure this is your?" Yes. So then I figured I decided to show up the following
She didn't
month.
know that you were the right person, or why
Oh
she kept asking you.
no, she was. She loved that chart. She wanted to work with that chart.
Huh.
She said, "What's this birth foretold? And it looks like you could be it, but from what I'm seeing across the table here, it ain't you." I said, "Oh, well, sorry about that." So anyway, I showed up the fourth week, and I walked in. I mean, her door was closed, but I walked in anyway, and she was having a heart attack.
Oh.
And when I walked into the office, into the main door of the downstairs street level, I noticed two cops. I called down to them because it was rush hour, and I'm like, "I can't call an ambulance at rush hour. There are two cops downstairs." And they came up and they got her to the hospital. And yes, I saved her life. And I waited there because, I didn't know her family. I didn't know who to call. So they finally did release her, and then she called me. And she thanked me for saving her life. And, she took me to dinner. And she said, "Maybe it is you. I'm going to give you another chance." So she started working with me. We would visit what we would call the planets. She had this thing where, astrology, you have the 12 planets and blah, blah, blah. And she would put you in alpha state. And then you would talk to the planets. You wanted to see what kind of condition your planets were in and what they were doing. Mine were always people, which she found extraordinary. She said, "Anything, they don't have to be people." I said, "They're people, not people I knew in real life." So we did that. And then one
So
day,
you're talking to the consciousness of the planets in our solar system?
the consciousness of the planets in your chart,
In your chart, okay.
in your chart. Oh, she was a trained Jungian therapist. And I said, "How did you become a therapist? How did you happen to incorporate astrology into your therapy?" And she said, she stopped seeing me for therapy at this point, pretty much. So anyway, she said, "I was writing my master's thesis on astrologers as charlatans. And of course, first I needed to learn astrology. And the more I tried to disprove it, the more valid I found it to be." So when she started her own practice, and she would always start with the chart, and she would kind of keep it under some paperwork so she didn't scare people. And then one day, one of her patients said, "What are you looking at? What are you?" And she said, "Your astrological chart." And that's when she, quote unquote, came out of the closet and just started with the chart and let everybody know. So anyway, so there I was seeing her, and she wanted to play me this channel tape. She said, "Have you ever heard of?" She named the channel. I said, "Never heard of her." Said, "Well, she channels this entity called the Pleiadians. And I want you to listen because it's brilliant." Well, I'm listening, and after about 5 minutes, I get bored and I pick up a magazine. Being ADD and now ADHD, you can't sit still. So she shuts off the tape and she said, "Why don't you find this fascinating?" I said, "Because I already know what they're going to say." And she said, "Well, tell me what they're going to say." And she had like 12 hours. I don't know how many hours it was, but there were a lot of cassettes. And I told her exactly what they were going to say. And I was right. And she said, "I asked you if you knew who this channel was." I said, "I don't know who this channel is. I've never heard of her." And she said, "How do you know what's on the tapes?" I said, "Because they told me." And she said, "Who's they?" I said, "The Pleiadians." And she said, "You talk to the Pleiadians?" I said, "I've been talking to the Pleiadians since I was 4 years old." She said,
Did you
"I'm going
know
to
they were the
channel."
Pleiadians the whole
"Oh,
time?
yes, my mother said always have them identify themselves and then test and make sure that they are who they say they are." because there can be people who pretend to be other people. My mother was very thorough. She's going to protect your little girl.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she said, "Why is this the first time hearing of it?" I said, "Because my mama told me never to tell anybody." And she said, "And how old were we when your mama told you this?" I said, "Four." So you can tell me. So this really is, so then we started talking to Pleiadians every week, which I could do anyway, but she wanted to get information and find out a lot of things. I mean, people channel differently. I seem to vibrate at a different level than most. It's just
Are
the way it
you
is.
a Pleiadian?
No.
No.
No. I am not. I know where I'm from.
Besides New York?
Oh yeah.
Where are you from?
Orion.
Okay.
In fact, I had a serious hand injury and I had to go into physical therapy. And one time, my physical therapist couldn't see me at the hospital, and if she canceled, she wouldn't get paid. So she lived not too far from me. So she said, "Do you mind coming over to my apartment? I have the therapy table. I can work on you." Blah blah blah. And I said, "Yeah, no problem." And I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Oh, yes, my psychic happens to be in town, and I want to see her." I said, "Okay, fine, whatever." So fine, she sees me the next day instead at her apartment, and she'd been my physical therapist for over a year. But all of a sudden, she's treating me like I'm a mom. She's being very strange. And I said, "Is everything okay? Do you not have a good session with your psychic?" And she said, "We talked about you." I said, "Why did you bring me up?"
Yeah.
"I didn't. She was talking about you the whole time. I know who you are. I know where you're from." I said, "Yeah, I'm from Sirius." She said, "You are the killer queen of Orion." I said, "Damn, she's good."
The killer queen?
Oh yeah. I mean, I was this planet was, oh, I'm sure
Isn't
all
there
of
a
your
Queen
readers,
song about
I hope so. This planet
that?
was seeded from different parts of the universe. I'm sure you know that, right?
We've discovered that during various interviews of this show.
Yes, this was seeded from different parts of the universe. This planet is the great experiment, according to the Pleiadians. This is the planet of free will, which is very important to know, especially in light of what's been going on in the world lately. And I don't get political, but it is true. How do you control people on the planet of free will? You take their free will away. Lockdowns. It's called lockdowns. And that's all I'm going to say about it. So anyway, yes, we were the Orions were the mercenaries of the universe, but we were flawed before we were brought here because they realized that if we were just brought to this planet, and yes, I saw the, I know exactly what happened, that we kill everything in sight because that was our mission, that's what we were trained to do. But we didn't do that. I've never killed anybody. Nor do I intend to
Nor would you
anytime soon.
probably tell me about it
Oh, I would never.
if you did. Wow. Okay. How much do you know about the Killer Queen of Orion?
Oh. I do. I know something. I do know something about her. She's shown up a couple of times. Oh, should I tell you this story?
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, my father died very suddenly. I was devastated. I knew it was going to happen. I knew when, I knew where, I knew how, and I told him. There's a backstory that's not important. And he said, and he knew too. And he said, "I can't stop it." And I was just going out of my mind. Just going out of my mind. So anyway, I won't tell you the other part of that story, but anyway, so my father was killed. When I said, how I said, where I said. And I went home that evening. All my brothers and sisters that were there, blah, blah, blah. And I was upstairs and they were all downstairs. And I had a very large uncle who was in business with my father. And he had five very large daughters. Now you have to understand, I weigh 97 pounds. I'm the skinny little thing. Oh, excuse me, there's a delivery at the door. I have to let him in. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You want to pause? Okay, yes. Oh.
Okay, we're back.
Okay. Oh, sorry about that. Just so my uncle and his five very large daughters were coming up the stairs to go into my parents' bedroom to basically take everything. And I was the only one upstairs. And there I was, this skinny little, I'm 5'1", I weigh 97 pounds. And I'm standing up there and I see them barreling up the steps. They pushed past my brothers and sisters. And I saw my siblings, or two of them downstairs. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I standing at the top of the stairs, and this voice comes out of me that I'd never heard before, and it said, "Get out, get." And it was deep, and it was loud, and it wasn't my voice, but it was me. And I looked at their faces, and there was absolute terror on their faces, and they fled. They literally turned around and fled. And my brothers and sisters were just standing there, and my brother said, "What was that?" I said, "I don't know where the voice came from." She said, "It wasn't the voice. It was the figure. You were huge." And I know
Whoa.
that they saw it. They saw her. It was me, so I didn't see her. I felt her. It was powerful. Whoa. So yes, she actually showed up. And they
Whoa.
saw her.
So that was the queen, killer queen of Orion, popped in to make sure that they didn't take your stuff.
Yes, she is me.
She's you,
I
but
am her
why was that
progeny.
important? Why did she show up then?
I needed her. And she is part of me. I told you, we all, many of us carry alien DNA. I think they call it junk DNA. I think it's alien DNA.
Okay,
I
so
know it's alien DNA.
what's your relationship with this version of yourself?
Well, when I was working with my teacher, she came to the realization that I was sleeping. She said, "You're in a somnambulant state." I said, "I am." She said, "You did this on purpose." I said, "Absolutely." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because it scares people." It's when I was a kid and I played field hockey. And I was on the team. I was very good, even though I'm just a little thing. I said, we were at practice and there were three of us left on the line, me, Barbara, and Kathy. And then we're finished for the day. Kathy's tall. I mean, Kathy's short. I'm short. Barbara was tall. And it was Barbara's turn. And I call it flashed. I flashed and I said to Barbara, "Don't go, let Kathy go." And Barbara said, "Fuck you, it's my turn." So Barbara went out to stop the ball, which is what the practice was about. And the gym teacher sent her the ball, and it hit something and went flying through the air and hit Barbara in the eye, and she lost an eye. It would have gone right over Kathy's head. Kathy would have been fine.
Whoa.
Barbara spread it around that I caused it, that I was a witch. I'm not a witch. I just saw it. I saw it. And that's when I decided, oops, we're going to sleep. We're not going to tell anybody anything. I keep it to ourselves. She said, "You're not a little girl anymore. You must wake up." She said, "You are here for a reason. You have to learn how to use this energy." And she spent a lot of time waking me up. And I realized, and then I started having different, what I call battles in my life. No, I wasn't physically fighting anybody, but I was working at a company where they were treating me badly. She said, "Isn't it interesting that you have a hand injury? It's something you have to handle." She said, "Injuries are very literal. Illnesses are very literal." And then finally, I stepped up to the plate and I said, "Yeah, gotta handle this." It was a very large corporation, and I was battling them, and I filed a lawsuit. And they were trying everything to get me to withdraw the lawsuit. I was dead. I had them dead to rights. I won't go into the details. And finally, they did fire me and quote unquote blacklist me. Blacklist. Except I got home and my phone was ringing, and it was another very large music company. He said, "Heard you're blacklisted." I said, "Yep." It was the president. He said, "Can you start here Monday?" I said, "Well, can I at least enjoy the blacklist for a week? Can I take a week?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You start a week from Monday." I said, "Thank you." The shortest blacklist in history, right? But when they were escorting me out the door, Or, when I was in, it was the president of the company who was firing me. I said, "I want you to know that you have no idea who you're dealing with." I said, "Before I'm finished, hundreds of people are going to lose their jobs, and I'm going to do it by remote control, and you're going to be one of them." And I did it. Don't fuck with somebody who knows how to use it, or who knows how to get information from the universe. Bad idea.
Okay, so you do you think you can say in a what you're you said you're here for a reason. What is that in a concise?
I know we all know what's going on in the world. The globalists are trying to take over. They've been at this for years and years and years. And I've known this for years and years and years. I've known this my entire life that this time was coming. And that's why I'm here. In fact, when we talked to the Pleiadians, they would talk a lot about, they never called them the globalists. They called them the One World Government or the New World Order. Mostly One World, always called them the One World Government, always. And this has been, they've been telling me that for years and years, like I said, for years. Though I always knew this time was coming. And I always knew that I'd have to battle them. And I know who they are. In fact, various members of the cabal have even approached me from time to time, shown up in my life. The NSA, David Rockefeller himself. I told him I would not go to the dark. I couldn't go to the dark side. In fact, Yoda told me once in my church, she read my chart, and I don't know astrology, so I can't tell you what the aspects were. She said, "You have this trine, this, and nothing ever touches it." I said, "You're speaking Greek to me. I don't know astrology." She said, "It's an ethic system that is as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar, and nothing ever touches it, ever. Nothing ever squares it. Nothing disturbs it ever." I said, "Well, that's good to know." She said, "For example, you can't lie." I said, "Well, there's no point in lying because if you lie, you can't trust anybody because you have to assume that they're lying to you." She said, "You can't lie." I said, "There's no point in lying." She said, "That's the ethics system. This is the ethics system." She said, "We're not going to teach you how to lie. I'm going to teach you how not to give everybody the entire story. Just tell parts, only the information they need." I said,
Gotcha.
"Okay." She
So
said,
this relationship with your teacher, it seems like she wanted you to channel information. She was learning a lot from you. What was she teaching you?
she was waking me up. She was telling me why it was so important. She always told me, I was a beach girl my entire life. I was a Hamptons girl. I love the Hamptons. And she said, "Someday you're going to end up in the country, not the beach." I said, "Not me, not never. I'm in the country." She was absolutely right. Everything she said, she was right. She was always right. So she was telling me things too.
So did she channel as well, or did she have similar gifts as you?
Well, she knew, but not everybody channels the same way. Not everybody channels at this, or as somebody told me, not everybody vibrates at the same frequency. In fact,
Wow, okay.
one
So
day she
you're
one day she decided to bring seven of her students together to see what would happen. Seven women, seven powerful women in one room. And they were not, and I was by far and away the youngest. And she said, and they were talking about, auras and reading auras and love and light. I'm not a love and light and aura person. I'm not. I just am who I am, who I am. And so finally we all went into Alpha State, and she threw out a question, and she said, "Answer the question and tell me who's speaking," meaning the entity. So they were giving their little sweetness on my answer. They were giving their answers. And of course, I gave my answer, which was from the Pleiadians, and she was asking different questions. And then it was, we finished, and we all had dinner. And I called her the next day. I said, "I love that. We got to do that again." She said, "We'll never do it again." I said, "Why not?" She said, "They hated you. They loathed you." I said, "Why?" So I was just being me. She said, "They don't know you. They thought you were showing off. I knew you were just being. I knew you were just getting the answers you usually get. You weren't doing anything you don't ordinarily do. It's just that not everybody vibrates on the same level. So I know I can't bring you back into this group." Which was too bad. And it's not showing off, and it's not, it's just what it is.
I think what might be helpful at this point is a little bit of context about your career journey. One thing I'm curious about is, okay, you said part of your role is this time in the history of humanity where the one world government's taking over, but you've had this sort of, every time I talk to you tell me like, oh, I was hanging out with some famous founder or, some interesting person. So let's try to mesh these two stories together of your like
Okay.
career arc and this, channeling stuff.
How I got into technology. There I was, very well paid executive in the music business. Loved my job. I had a job people would kill for. And so one day a friend of mine calls me. I told you I'd had this hand injury. It was RSI, it was a computer injury. So I'd been off computers for a while. Although, I'd worked for a German company, so we had computers. I loved them. So anyway, this friend of mine calls me one day, an associate, and she said, we have breakfast, and she said, I want to start the first Interactive Awards Festival. It was 1994. I said, what? And she said, let's go back to my office. I'll show you. I hadn't been on a computer in a couple of years. Not really. I mean, I'd been on, not on the internet. I hadn't been on the internet. So we go back to her office, and graphics had just hit. She turns on the computer, and this was like, I said, this is like channeling. This is going to give everybody the ability to get information from anywhere. I said, this is my industry. This is my industry. And I always knew I'd be working in an industry that hadn't been invented yet. Even when I graduated, I knew that. And this was it. So I resigned from my big job, and the president of the company who had given me the job said, You're leaving to do what? I said, interactive. He said, what's that? I had to explain it to him. It was Sony Music, by the way. I was at Sony Music. So anyway, so I got into interactive, and she said, yes, yeah, so write an entry form. I said, well, we don't know anything about interactive. We need to put together an advisory board. She said, okay. I said, let me call Bill Gates. And I did. I picked up the phone and I called Bill Gates. He took the call. He was fascinated. He sent us our first advisor. So I started calling everybody. And I had this killer advisory. Everybody wanted to be on my advisory board. Everybody, because it was who's who of the industry. And we were having our first official meeting. And was he there yet? No, he wasn't there yet. I had one spot left, and everybody wanted to be on this board. Everybody was bugging me to be on my board. And I had one spot left, and I'd been swapping emails with the Stanford student, master's candidate. And I emailed him one day, and I said, I'm going to give you the last position on the board. And he said, and I sent him the list of the other people who were on the board. And he said, I don't have a company. I said, you will. He said, I can't afford to fly into New York for your meetings. I said, I'll get them sponsored. Everybody was about to kill me because the last position went to this Stanford student. And they said, you have to tell him he can't be on the board. And you have to. I said, by the time we do this festival in 1996, he's going to be he will have a company. He will be the most famous person on my board. I am not kicking him off. And they used to call him the Bonnie's little friend. You know who it was? It was Jerry Yang, founder of Yahoo. I knew, but I always know things before other people. They just don't believe me because they can't see what I can see. It was our first meeting, and it was February, and everybody flew in for it. And they were talking about in February of 95, people were talking about CD-ROM and CD-i and CD this and CD that, blah, blah, blah. And there was a reporter called Michael Krantz who was writing for PC Week who said, can I cover the meeting? Because he wanted to talk to some hunters, the big shots who were there. I said, sure. So they're talking about CD-ROM and CD-i and CD this and CD that. And I said, well, what about the web? And they said, of course, there's going to be a category for the web. And I said, well, we can't have a category for the web. We're doing this festival in June of 1996. By June of 1996, I hate to tell you people, CD-ROM, CDI, CD this and CD bullshit is all going away. It's all going to be about the web. The web is going to take over, which was heresy in
That
February
was
of 19.
pretty early for the. That was before
Was
most people were
very
even
early.
online, though, right?
Yep. And Michael came over to me. He said, "Are you serious?" I said, "The web's going to take over. All this stuff is going away. It's limited application technology. It's bullshit." And he wrote his article about that. So the article was published. He was immediately hired away by Time Magazine to be their tech reporter. And after, when the article came out, I'm sitting in the office and I have the phone rings and my assistant says, "It's for you." I said, "Who is it?" He said, "Steve Jobs." I said, "Who is it?" "It's Steve Jobs." I said, "Who is it really?" He says he's Steve Jobs. It was Steve Jobs. And I had a test and I said, "All right, name Nolan Bushnell's oldest child." And he told me, and I said, "Okay, you passed the Steve Jobs test." She's a friend of mine, and I knew that Steve Jobs knows who she is. And he passed the test. And I had to ask something obscure that only Steve Jobs would know, really. Do you know the name of Nolan Bushnell's oldest child? He's got 7 kids. Of
I
course
don't
you
even
don't.
know who that is.
Nolan Bushnell, Atari.
Okay.
Wrong. Wrong. In fact, I once asked her when I first met her, I said, "Can I ask you a question about your dad?" She said, "So people always have a question about my dad." She said, "What's your question?" I've heard them all. I said, "How did he come up with Pong?" She said, "You know, nobody's ever asked me that question." I said, "How did he do it?" She said, "He was sitting in a meeting and he was really bored, so he kept hitting the return of the enter key, and that's how Pong was born." Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
So
So,
anyway, Steve Jobs, all he wanted to talk about was the web. He saw what I saw. He wasn't back at Apple yet, remember? And he used to call me every day, "Bonnie's your boyfriend." All he wanted to talk about was the web. He knew too. We both knew. But like I said, not a lot of people saw it in February of 1995. Most people didn't.
It's fascinating that you said the internet, that you noticed the internet was like channeling, because I have a theory that the internet is, it was an important training tool for the consciousness of humanity,
Yes.
basically to teach us that information is available.
That's what I
Because
loved
before,
about them. I said,
yeah.
"Everybody's going to be able to do what I can do, get information from everywhere. This is fantastic." But I didn't mean to interrupt, Derek. I apologize.
Well, no, I think, because for centuries, millennia before that, information was not available, right? And so it was hard to get good information. And now basically we're all very used to the fact that we can just learn anything at this point. So channeling and let's call it non-local awareness, tapping into greater consciousness is an easy step from the internet.
Remember, online and as above, so below. There are bad guys out there too. There are pretenders out there too. There's misinformation online too. You always have to do your test, 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 test. You
So,
know,
okay,
they say trust but verify. I said mine is test but verify, then verify. Test. I test everything and everybody.
so you almost seem like a business oracle for these people. Like you're telling this guy, Jerry Yang, oh, you're gonna have a company.
Else you're gonna have a company. This is a company. He said, "No, this is my master's." I said, "It's not a company." When
can
Jeff
you
Bezos first started Amazon, and he was the laughing stock of the industry. I don't know if they used to call him startup guy. He was the laughing stock of the industry. So, I was invited to this panel discussion. It was invitation only at Borough of Manhattan Community College. And Jeff was the startup guy on them. There were four, five people on stage, and he was just their punching bag. He was. And they kept calling him startup guy. And there were VIP cocktails afterwards. And he was going through the turnstile. And I said, "Hey, startup guy." To this day, I still call him startup guy. "Startup guy, I understand what you're doing. Of course people are going to put their credit cards online. Of course." And that's how I met Jeff, and that's how we bonded. I knew exactly what he was going to do. I said, "And I know you didn't call it Amazon because you're intending to sell books for the rest of your life. I know that too." And he just kind of smiled. Books was just a starting point because books, you're not going to have, they're not going to go bad. It's not something perishable. Very smart.
One thing I think probably the public in general, and I'm curious about, is how many of these founders with big tech have been corrupted by the cabal, the one world government, and how many of them are the good guys, so to speak?
I have this newsletter that I write called Startup One Stop. I've been writing it since 2009. Yes, I have a journalism background. Yes, I've written for publications, you know. But I decided I needed to tell the truth about tech. I had to be honest about tech. And the mainstream tech media is not always honest. And it was bugging me because I have to be honest. And I for years, I call them the tech cabal. Some people call them the tech cartel, but I always refer to them as the tech cabal. They are their own cabal. Of course of course they're all working together. Come on. Do you think that technology took these leaps and bounds without the infusion of alien technology? Of course we're using alien technology. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, by the way. I think conspiracy theories are boring and stupid. I have better things to do. So, don't ask me about conspiracy theories. I've never heard Alex Jones. I think he's being mistreated, but I've never listened to an Alex Jones podcast, I'll be honest.
So the one world government is kind of separate from the tech folks that have their own sort of organization to help each other out.
No, they're all working together.
No. So
Never.
are there let's call them, one way I like to differentiate is like service to self versus service to others. Are there tech companies or tech founders that are still sort of service to others oriented?
Not the major companies. I don't like good and evil. I never and she never it's white light and white energy and dark energy. That's how I differentiate. It's funny, I wonder if I should tell you this story. Oh, I'll tell you this story. So I met somebody. I've got to tell you this story because this shows you how powerful light really is. And there was this woman who I know was from dark energy. She identified herself that way. So and I know, and she's probably as powerful as I am, but on the dark side, and I am white light energy. And she was trying to get into my life different ways through different people. And one day we're at this dinner, and it's just a small dinner party for at a restaurant for it was a friend of mine's birthday, and she was there. I didn't know she was going to be there. And there were about 12 people there at the table. And she was and we were downstairs in a private room, and the room was dimmed, the light was dimmed. And she said, dark energy is much more powerful than light energy. You don't understand that. I said, no, it's not. White energy is much more powerful. And we're arguing. People think that we're crazy because we're having this argument on this different level. I said, I will show you in one simple example how much more powerful light is. She said, go ahead. I said, you're in a room, it's pitch black. You're in danger. You have to get to the other side of the room. There's a door on the other side of the room, which you can't see because it's pitch black. You have to cross the room to get to safety. The floor is lined with shards of glass, and you're barefoot. How are you going to do it? She said, I don't know. I said, strike a match. One little match is more powerful than all that darkness, and you can get to safety. That was my example.
Yeah, there's this is great. This is fascinating stuff.
Oh, do you want to get back to tech? So yeah, I just always happen to be in the right place. I would like to say that I'm Forrest Gump, always in the right place at the right time. But don't run as fast. Maybe use a few more brain cells. But he did well. I'm the Forrest Gump of tech. Always happened to be in the right place at the right time. But people couldn't see what I could see. It's like we were working with the Google boys when they were first starting out, and Yahoo owned the space. And I knew about. I said, oh, this is awesome. And everybody was pushing back. We're trying to help them hire. And the pushback was so amazing. It's like, yeah, who wants this? I couldn't understand why people couldn't see what I could see. You couldn't see Amazon, didn't see Yahoo, didn't see Google.
What do you see
I
right
did.
now? What's coming?
I'm in a wait and see, and everybody's talking about Web3 and this and that. And I remember when Web2 was rearing its ugly head. And in fact, Esther, I was at a conference that Esther Dyson was doing, and it was called The Age of Social, Users in Charge. And in fact, Mark Zuckerberg, who was out for funding, it was 2008, was one of the keynotes. And Esther would always ask me what you should invest in afterwards. She didn't. I said, "Yeah, I think that kid is psychotic, but yeah, he's going to make it work. I would invest in Facebook if ever." She didn't listen to me on YouTube. She didn't believe me on YouTube. They don't have any IP. I said, "YouTube." She didn't invest in that. But anyway, I said, "You know, you call it users in charge. This is not going to be. This is surveillance." This is the beginning of surveillance. She didn't see it. People, they didn't see it. It wasn't users until I was right. I said, unless you mean that the users are going to be the platform. Okay, I can see that. But it's not going to be the public in charge. It's not going to be the people using the platforms. It's going to be the platform owners. I knew it when I first saw it. I see it with Web3. They say decentralized and blah, blah, blah. Come on, somebody always owns the pipes. You know, crypto, you think you're any safer? Look at all the breaches there have been. Look at stuff like I don't believe it anymore.
Can
It's too easy.
I
What?
ask you, do you have can you share any personal insight about my own trajectory of work? Do you have any,
No,
can you see my own future?
I haven't focused on it. I never asked her. And I told you beforehand, I'm not a fairground attraction. When I do that, it kind of scares people sometimes. I did it once before, and it was a friend of mine who used to go to see her therapist, who was in my neighborhood, and she would come over afterwards, and she would always be crying, always crying. She was always upset, and she knew I had this little ability, and she said, "Why don't you help me? Why don't you tell me something? Why don't you tell me something to help me with my life?" I said, "You hold all your anger in your thighs." And she freaked out. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "My therapist said that to me just this evening." Yeah, I never saw her. She said, "You can listen in on my therapy session." I do not listen in. I cannot listen in. It's just that answer. But it scares people. I'll talk. I'll ask her, and we'll talk to her off camera. But I'm not a fairground attraction. A friend of mine asked me last night, or for a couple of days, that she didn't even know that I had this ability, and I was giving her help, or I was telling her things that she must do, or that she could do. I mean, I don't never tell anyone they need to do it, and I didn't even know that she was had participated in the spiritual realm, and of course, a lot of the spiritual teachers out there, which that's why I have a lot of problems. And God bless them. I'm glad they're spreading the word. I'm glad. But they like to preach sweetness and light. I said, but you have to give these words power. You have to believe. You have to believe. And not everybody's a good guy. This friend of mine, who is a conscious individual, is into sweetness and light. And I said, we're living in dangerous times. We could be attacked and blah, blah, blah. I said, what if somebody's coming at you with an AK? She said, I will send them light energy and love. I said, if somebody's coming at me with an AK, let me tell you, I'm shooting back.
Gosh,
I'm shooting back.
there's this. I don't know. I've never been in a gunfight or a
I don't
knife
have an
fight.
AK, by the way. I don't.
But
Well, hopefully no one will do that.
there's this gangster movie, and Al Pacino, he keeps giving the same advice throughout the movie. He's like, if it's a knife, you run. If it's a gun, you fight. And I've always, it's kind of like the movie drilled it into me. I was like, it's counterintuitive, right? Because you think like, oh, a gun, they can just shoot you from afar, but you wanna, but if it's a knife, they're gonna ha know how to use it. Anyway, that's really interesting. I'm not sure why I brought that up or why it's relevant, but so okay, what are you
Well,
doing
my
now?
favorite, my, one of my favorites was Indiana Jones when that guy's there with the swords and he takes out his gun and shoots him. I said,
Yeah.
that was hilarious. That was fantastic.
Boy, Indiana Jones, hero of mine, and what the thing that I always use from Indiana Jones is there's a scene where he's like running towards this plane. He's like, I gotta stop that plane. And the woman is like, what's your plan? He's like, I don't have one. And he's like, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm like, that's how I want to be, leaping into action before the plan is fully realized.
He trusted. He believed in himself too.
Yeah. So what are you doing right now these days? Like your career, you're still working, you're still writing this newsletter. What's the present moment for you?
So I'm writing the news. I work with entrepreneurs. I help them with their pitch decks. None of them know how to write a pitch deck. None of them know how to write a pitch deck properly. They really don't. You can ask any investor. So founders out there, you've seen the 12, 15 slide template. You don't have to go in that order. Don't bury the lead. Don't bury your differentiator. Do not bury your superpower. I will give you that advice. Investors have the attention span of gnats. I have an investor friend, and we were visiting him in Montreal. And it was the weekend, and he knew we were coming over. So he had his assistant print out all these decks that he had to vet. And I'm watching him as he's talking to us, and he's like, I said, okay, show me how you look at a deck. What do you look at? What are you paying attention to? Then it would go into one pile. He said, what the problem is, what their solution is. Then I skipped to the back. Who's on the team and what their financials are. I said, well, some of them are early stage. He said, financials about how they think. How they think. So, yes, I'd like to impart that to you. I'd like to share that with you. And he's a very, very successful investor. Oh, so yes, I help them with their pitch decks. Oh, and we just released my startup one-stop app to help founders. Long time coming. So it's to aggregate different communities. There's marketplaces, there's groups, there's events. Well, that's what I'm doing now. Been very focused on this. And I want to thank TagFi for doing the app for us. They put the app together. It's funny, I host these breakfasts now virtually. I used to have them in person every 2 weeks. I would have this breakfast with an investor, a small group of investors, because I was going to all these pitch events. And there would be an investor there, and there would be hundreds of people in the room. And you'd sit there and you'd watch four or five pitches. And a friend of mine happened to be the guest investor that day. And I said, I haven't seen him in a while. So I went to see him. And he saw me in the audience, and he gives the feedback, blah, blah, blah. And afterwards, there are like 50 people lined up to speak to him personally. And he said, don't move. We're going to go out for drinks after this. Okay. And he very graciously spoke to every single person online, and he took their business cards and he said, let's go.
Wow.
He said, hey, P, his name is Pedro Torres Picon, which is now, he took his way. It's Pedro Torres Picon from Quotidian Ventures. I said, hey, P, how many people are you going to remember in the morning? He said, ask me how many I remember now. I said, if I start doing these breakfasts with one investor, no real pitches, just a small self-selecting group of entrepreneurs. We go, the investor introduces himself or herself, talks about what they're doing, what the fund does. We go around the room, everybody briefly talks about what they're doing, then it's all Q&A. What do you think? He said, I'll be your first investor. And I've been doing them ever since. We always keep the group small so that everybody can participate. It's still called Breakfast with an Investor. We have angels, we have VCs, we have strategic sometimes. People have gotten funding through them, and now I do them online. And they're fantastic. I mentioned this for a reason. But anyway, and no investor says the same thing. And some of the information they impart is just fantastic. One of my favorite was Peter Schiff. No, they're all my favorites. They all say something that no one, that you haven't heard before. Every single one of them do that. But when angel investor Peter Shankman was speaking, he was talking about, he's a skydiver. And when he started skydiving, he was new to it, and he saw this older man who obviously had been skydiving for a very long time and was still alive. And since Peter worked with startups too and invested in startups and knows how hard startup life is and how depressing and just lonely. And he said, do you have any words of advice for me? And he said, and this holds for startups too. He said, because you'll ask people for feedback and some of them thinks that many people think that you, when you say ask for critique, that they're going to be critical. He said, you want people who are going to help too. He said, so what did he say? So if you can't and tell, if you're trying to be specific, and I've tried this many times, no. You know, try to be optimistic or give me advice and blah, blah, blah. That's helpful. And Peter finally said, if you can't change the people around you, which this older man had said, if you can't change the people around you, then change the people around you. And I think that's just brilliant. Fantastic. And I wanted to share that with your audience as well.
This is what an incredible yeah, thank you for putting all that together. Can you give us a sense for like how many founders you've started, how much funding, like what's I don't know if there's any way to like quantify it, but just out of curiosity.
I don't know. A lot of them. I
And
don't know. The household name.
relating to
Oh,
your
Reid Hoffman was another one. I met Reid Hoffman at a PC Forum, Esther Dyson's conference in Arizona, which was always carved in stone because it was just always the best conference in the world. It was a who's who. It was 400 people, invitation only, and was just fantastic. It was everybody was there. So it was one of the last ones. Oh, it was one of the last ones. And I was going every year, and I pretty much knew everybody. It was the last cocktail party, I think, before the final night cocktail party. And I saw this guy I'd never seen before. And I always only drink water. When you go, don't get drunk at cocktail parties. Drink water. They're networking events. Stay sober. Drink when you get home if you need to drink. I was, oh, seriously. So I went over to refill my water glass. They had this big, thing of water, and there was a fellow there who was also drinking water. And I said, "I don't know you. Who are you, and what do you do?" He said, "I'm just starting a company. We're just starting to look for funding now. Just meeting with VCs now." I said, "Tell me about it." They said, "Well, it's a business networking platform. It's called LinkedIn." I said, "Okay." I said, "So how's the funding going?" He said, "Ah." I said, "VCs are all telling us that we need to put pictures." I said, "Do not put pictures. Do not use pictures. Do not ever put up pictures. Not now. It's going to kill your brand. You're going to devolve into another dating site." He said, "Well, what if you know poor Eric Schmitz?" I said, "I know David, seven David Goldbergs, but you say that it's a business platform, so they're going to put their like CV or something." "Yes." I said, "I want to know which David Goldberg it is, or David Schwartz. I know seven David Schwartzes by their background." I said, "But if you do not put pictures, not now. Don't do it. Don't do it." So I gave him his talking points for investors, and he got invest. You've heard of LinkedIn. It was
I'm
successful.
on it, if you can
Yeah,
believe
so he was.
that.
So the next year he sees me. He says, "Lottie, consultation." And I said, "Okay, what do we do?" He said, "Okay, so we need to start charging. We want to start charging." He said, "Mostly recruiters who are using it." I was recruiting too. He said, "Would you pay $10 a month?" I said, "Not yet. You don't have enough traction yet." "Would I?" "Yes, but not yet. Not enough traction. We need more traction. You need more users. You have to have real value." He said, "Would you pay 15 a month?" I said, "I'd pay 15 a month." He said, "Would you pay 20 a month?" I said, "No, I would not pay 20 a month." Well, they didn't do the charging model. They didn't do the premium model immediately, but eventually they did, and I signed on. And it's funny because first it was $10, and then it was $15. Reed grandfathered me at $15. I still pay $15 a month for my premium account, which is, I think, is hilarious. We did it as a joke. Thank you, Reed. Appreciate that.
So where does your role helping all these startups and founders fit in with what you were saying earlier about you knew your whole life that what was going to be happening right now in these times? Like, where does that fit in with your sort of life role here?
Oh, okay, so I'm reading a pitch deck, right? Everybody buries the lead. Everybody buries the lead. Maybe they don't realize it's the lead. So I change it around. I said, "This is your story. We don't know your story. You want to differentiate? This is your story. I can see things maybe they can't see." A lot of times they fight me on it. They usually do. I'm usually right. I'm always right. Not always right, but I'm always right. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. If you don't want to listen, go with God, Anjin-san. Okay. Not my company, it's yours. I've been around the block. Been around the block a few times. Been looking.
How do you get paid?
Oh, I charge for. I don't vet these decks and make introductions when I feel appropriate to investors for free. I take it. No.
But
Although,
you,
because I have
when they
this
get
newsletter
funded,
called.
do you take a percentage, or do
Oh,
you?
yeah, I can't take a percentage. I'm not a broker dealer. No, I come on as a consultant. And no, I don't wait till they get funded because I take payment upfront. This is why I was working with a founder, made introductions, had her meeting with, there was a one fund, loved her, absolutely loved her. They told her how big the check was. They were about to write the check. They told her what the check would be. So they brought her in for one last final meeting, and I said, "You need to take me with you." She said, "I don't need you. This is the last one. I don't need you to." I said, "You're going to blow it. You need me there. You don't know." And she didn't listen, and she went. The check was there. So she and they said, "Well, if we're going to give you this check, and what do you expect your bottom line is going to be by the next quarter?" And she said, $10 million. They didn't even expect. No, that's completely unrealistic. Then they realized that she maybe did not understand and maybe did not have a handle on things, and they did not give her the check. I would have known what to say. She didn't. Founders, you think you know, but you really don't know. You might know your business, but you don't know investors. You don't necessarily know the landscape. Learn something. Read the newsletter. Go and read some of the archives. Learn something about the industry. I'm not saying that you need to go to investors to start your company, but if you're going to go to investors, get to know them. And you should come to my breakfast too. Very good idea to get to know investors before you need the money. There was this one founder who used to come to the breakfasts. It didn't matter who was speaking. If it was an early stage investor, later stage, Series A, she came to every single one, talked, asked questions, blah, blah, blah. She did raise her seed round. And when it was time to raise the Series A, she raised it to two investors whom she met at the breakfast and stayed in touch with. That's another thing. Stay in touch. Stay in touch. One of my favorite stories. What's his name? I used to remember his name. But he had this company. Spacing out the name of the company, but I can see him. He was Israeli. And he decided on one investor. He wanted Fred Wilson to be his investor. Fred Wilson from Union Square Ventures. And he targeted Fred Wilson. So Fred took the pitch and Fred said no. So, okay. So 6 months later, he sends Fred an update. And Fred says, so a few months later, he sends Fred another update. And Fred said no. This went on for 18 months. Until Fred said yes. He hit the magic spot. Fred said yes.
So, all right, I've got a project that I think at some point will need investment, but it's
Can we take a little break first?
yeah, I'll tell you about it when we get back.
Yes.
Okay, back again. So there's this project that's not just a company that I'm working on. It's a village. It's a community project. But so there's different aspects. There's like I see when I look into the future, I see people starting to live more in community than in sort of these massive urban, cities like there are now. I think things will start to shift.
They've
And
already
I
started.
exactly. Yeah. And so we're starting a community with some friends. But it's also going to have a sort of an immersive living component where people can come and stay with us and sort of not exactly like a mystery school like you were talking about earlier, but just like learn authentic relating, come to the healing center. We'll host retreats, but I also want it to be ideally we can run the whole thing. I can find a real free energy inventor and we can run the whole thing on free energy and use, as much, you mentioned alien technology before, we can use as much n new quote technology and sort of have the whole community be an example community. Here's how
Geothermal.
people
Look into
can
geo.
live
I'm sure you're looking into geothermal.
the heat exchange.
It's not just, it's energy, and it's much cleaner than solar. Everybody's focused on solar. Geothermal is much cleaner.
So my question is, there's different phases. There's like acquiring the land, building the healing center, some form of agricultural component. Should I be seeking investors for parts of this, or how would you go about, we're really just a group of us are putting in our own capital at this point, but how would you think about going about this project?
You might want to talk to investors, probably real estate investors, but there's a lot of ESG investors
EST?
who are looking to clean energy. And I know other projects like this that are already underway. There's one called, I think it's called the Gaia Project.
Oh,
But
cool.
they're working a lot in South America with natives, with
Yeah,
tribes.
Central America, there's some of these communities in Costa Rica, which is a great option. I think we want ours to be in the States.
Okay. Costa Rica is always a place that's captured my. I've never been there, but it's someplace I need to visit in my lifetime. Where in the States?
Asheville, North Carolina region.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems to be so I interviewed Stefan Schwartz, and he's a researcher, and he does these consensus remote viewing projects, and he remote viewed with 4,000 people the year 2050 and the year 2060. And basically one of the things that he found was there would be these huge waves of migration of people in the US away from the deserts, the Southwest deserts, because of the droughts, away from the coastal regions because the sea levels are going to rise, and away from the Midwest because of severe storms like tornadoes and stuff like that. And so he said the safest, sort of best places will be the Northwest, the Northeast, and the Appalachia region. To be insulated from those sort of changes. So that's why we're looking, in the mountains. But like the Sierras, upstate New York. So that's actually, this is could be a good segue because you have a place in upstate New York. Is that right?
No,
No. Okay.
I want nothing to do with the state of New York.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the state. Nope. We're Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Ah, okay. Gotcha. But
In
you, so
fact,
you see.
I felt it when we first looked at our place. I knew that it was a power center. And I had a client I was working with from India, and brought him to a conference. I was doing the introductions to investors. And of course, I get paid for my time and make introductions, make sure that he gets face time and blah, blah, blah. And I was taking him down to the first cocktail party, which is a networking event, basically. So I was waiting in the living room. He was in his bedroom doing his prayers. But he left the room ajar, so I knew what he was doing. No problem. And he came out and he said, "I'm just doing my prayers." And I said, "Oh, no problem. I understand what you're doing. My husband does the same thing." So he said, and we started talking about. He said, "Are you going back to New York?" I said, "I don't. My husband might pick me up, and we're going out to our place in Pennsylvania." He said, "Oh, I've been to Pennsylvania." I said, "Yes, but I'm sure you were in Philadelphia." He said, "No. My Geary has there's a Mott in Pennsylvania, and students are sent there at certain points." He said, "It's a power center." I said, "Where in Pennsylvania?" He said, "Where are you?" I said, "We're in the middle of nowhere. You've never heard of it, trust me." I said, "Where's your Mott?" So he brings up this map. Close. He said, "You see this lake right here?" I said, "Yes." He said, "See, just on the other side, that's where the Mott is." He said, "Where are you?" I said, "See this big lake right here?" He said, "Yes." I said, "That's my house."
Was it the
Said, "That's
same
a power."
lake, you mean?
"Oh yeah." I said, "It's a
Okay.
pond. We call it, it's a pond technically, but it's big." He said, "You know, it's a power center." I said, "I know. I knew it the minute we stepped onto the property." So I even find crystals. I find crystals.
What is the type of power center, or what does that mean exactly?
Well, the Earth has what, seven anodes, but there are power centers. I see UFOs all the time. They come over, see them all the time. They don't scare me.
What is the power center for, or what? How
it's
does it
a,
work?
it's just it's a it's an energy field. It's if it's a clear power system, I know how to clear energy. It's for clarity.
The power center is for clarity, or that's what you use it for?
But I, yeah. But why do you think they have their Mott there? There are a lot of Motts around this area, a lot of them. I didn't even know.
What is that word? I'm not sure I know it.
Oh, Mott, MATH. It's a Hindu temple, Buddhist temples.
Ah,
We call them Motts.
I've read that word, but I didn't know it was not pronounced math.
Mott. They
Mott.
pronounce it Mott.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm just finishing Autobiography of a Yogi right now. So
Oh.
it's talked about that. Fascinating book, by the way. Do you know that story?
No.
It's the guru, Yogananda. I can't remember his full title. Anyway, he brought yoga to the West. So he came to California in the 20s, 1920s, and spent 30 years sort of bringing Hindu philosophy and yoga traditions to America and Europe. And he wrote a biography about it. But he's like all these amazing, he's like you. He's got these stories of, he's like name dropping. So he knows, Babaji, and all these other figures, these saints from Indian history. So Babaji is the deathless saint. Basically, he was like the Indian version of Christ, and they made a deal together, Christ, Jesus Christ, and Babaji made this deal where Jesus would die and do his work from the sort of the astral realm, but Babaji would stay immortal and basically be the physical part of the pair here on Earth. And so he's been around for the last 2,000 years, sort of hiding out in the Himalayas and helping various Indian saints. So he's just, pretty incredible stories.
You know, when I used to, even the first time I went to see Yoda, went, and I'm sitting across from her, and I'm just sitting there in the chair. And she said, "You do yoga?" I said, "No, I've never done yoga." I said, "Why do you think I did yoga?" She said, "You're sitting in a perfect lotus position." I said, "I always sit like this. Always." And by the way, I have this theory that Jesus was a black belt. Did I ever tell you my Jesus was a black belt? I'm reading Jesus. I'm like, when he said, "Turn the other cheek," I was thinking about that woman who said, "Oh, just give them light and love, send them light and love." I said, "I'm taking my Uzi," which of course I don't own one, but that's okay. But I said Jesus was not a masochist. He wasn't. I said Jesus was a black belt. When he, because I studied Shotokan, I said, when he said, "Turn the other cheek," well, in Shotokan, in the martial arts, when you turn the other cheek, your opponent goes with his full force. Let him hurt himself. See, I'm peaceful. Let them hurt themselves.
Shotokan is it a type of karate or jujitsu? What is it?
Karate.
Okay. Ah.
I
Interesting.
miss it. I had a great teacher. It was fun. And it comes in handy too.
So with your power spot home in Pennsylvania, tell us about how that's played into your life.
All right. I grew up in New Jersey. As I said, I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in New York. I left New Jersey early. I had to get out of New Jersey. So I went to college in New York. I was young. And always knew I would end up in New York. Knew since I was a kid. And we were there forever. Until, but we decided to buy a place out of town, and my husband, who is a native New Yorker, although he grew up around the world, but he was born in New York, said, "We're not buying in New York State." And we were arguing over where we were going to buy, Texas. Florida. I said Florida. He said, we won't have anybody to talk to. Now everybody's there. He wouldn't listen to me. But we compromised on Pennsylvania because, you know, we still needed to be in town for business and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. We looked at a million places. And then this place just kept calling to me. Why did I mention this? Oh, so I got Lyme disease at a family wedding in Clime, Connecticut, which I'm mentioning that for a reason, on August 3rd, 2019. Now, everybody sprayed themselves, you know, beautiful wedding. But I broke, my sandal broke. It was an outdoor wedding. And I forgot to spray the bottoms of my feet. And there were over 300 people there, but only three of us came down with Lyme disease. And we all got it at the same time, the same. My sister's a doctor. The other two lived close enough for her to take the test and give her prescribe the medication. She said, "You gotta go to a doctor immediately." I said, "Can't you just give me a prescription over the phone?" She said, "Lyme is a cocktail of diseases. I need to know what's in there." I said, "Okay." Big sister, she still yells at me. Still treats me like I'm 6 years old. Still treats all of us like we're. So anyway, so and she said, "I'm going on vacation tomorrow, so go to your doctor now." And, all right, fine. So by the time the tests come back, and I go to a doctor in New York City who's never even seen a Lyme bullseye before. When you get Lyme disease at ground zero, you get the bullseye. Only 30% of people who come down with Lyme disease have to get the bullseye. So fine. So she gives me, and my sister told me what to have the doctor prescribe. So my sister said, blah, blah, blah. And she said, "Well, I'm going by CDC guidelines," which, by the way, are wrong. They're wrong. They give you the wrong form of the medication, the antibiotic, and they give you, what is it, 7 days, minimum 30. You need to be on it 30 days. My sister said, "Make sure she doesn't give you the wrong one. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse." And it got worse. So anyway, I also had this condition called Babesia, which is tick-borne malaria. So I was talking to the Pleiadian. I was the only one who came down with that. I'm talking to, I was like, "Seriously? Seriously? I thought you'd be something." I get the malaria, and it's terrible. Malaria is terrible. She said, "You have it for a reason. You will see." I said, "Okay, I will trust you."
The Pleiadians told you this.
She said, "You will need this." All right. So I, doctors in the tri-state area will not treat chronic. They're told if you have Babesia or one or the other, because Lyme is a cocktail of diseases, they call it either HIV or Hep C. Treat it for HIV or Hep C. Well, my HIV test was negative. My Hep C test was negative. But I had three tests for Babesia, which were all positive. And the head of infectious disease medicine at Mount Sinai, yes, I'm going to name it Mount Sinai, Langone, I guess it was NYU, said, "Well, I'm going to treat you for Hep C." I said, "Well, according to three tests, I have tick-borne malaria. Why don't we treat me for that?" She said, "I'm taking them as false positives." I said, "So the test that came out negative, you're going to take us?" Then I started, she didn't realize I had a science background, and I started arguing with her on a cellular level, which scared her, and she threw me out. So my sister gets back, and she sees my blood test, said, "You got to get this treated." I said, "Can't get a doctor who will treat it." She said, "I forgot to tell you, insurance companies in the tri-state area tell doctors not to treat." He said, "You have to find a doctor outside the tri-state area," which I did in Pennsylvania. Finally. So it took months to get to him. He had a waiting list, but finally got to him. And of course, he gave me ivermectin, which is prescribed like candy, and they give it out like candy in India, everybody has. So I'm on the ivermectin. Well, first week in December 2019, wake up one morning, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. It's really, I can't breathe. Like, what the hell is going on here? So I'm trying to make my way to the kitchen to make, I can't breathe. I get back into bed. I take my medications for lying. And, you know, about half an hour later, I could breathe again. I was fine. And I called my doctor in New York, my GP at Mount Sinai, and he said, "Let's make an appointment." So he does a complete, he said, "Sounds like the flu, no flu I've ever heard of." Does a complete blood panel. My vitamin, what was, the D3 is totally wiped out of my system. The zinc is totally gone from my system. He said, It sounds like the flu, but no flu I've ever heard of. We didn't know that it was an early case of COVID.
Super
Later, he
early.
said,
Yeah.
"You had COVID." I said, "I know. But remember, I was only sick. I could only not breathe for half an hour, and 3 days later, I was fine. Because what did I?" And she said, "This is why. I was on ivermectin for the malaria. That's why they got me.
Wow.
That's why I had malaria."
Whoa.
She said,
That's
"There's
such
the
a
reason."
roundabout way of preventing damage from COVID.
Isn't
I
that
mean, gosh.
fantastic? And by the way, yes, ivermectin seeps. I didn't even know. Nobody knew what COVID was. I didn't know that ivermectin really helps with. Proof positive, blind test. I'm not, advocating for anything, but blind test. Absolutely blind test. And in fact,
Wow.
my infectious disease doctor, his wife got an early case of COVID when I did, and she was in bed for terribly, terribly sick for 2 weeks, and she got better. So when he realized that I was on the ivermectin and that it helped, in fact, he said to me, "Do you ever think you'd be lucky to have malaria?" I said, "With all due respect, COVID is a flu. Malaria is a disease. It's not lucky to have malaria." And he was laughing. But when his daughter came down with COVID, he gave her the ivermectin immediately, and she was fine.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm glad you got it. Now I know what to give." I said, "Still, again,
Wow.
not lucky."
Interesting.
But
So
yes, thank you,
you're
Pleiadians.
so when the Pleiadians come, are you like reaching out to them? Like, are you asking them, why do I have Lyme? Or do they just pop in and tell you, or what's that like?
Well, it's funny because, and Yoda always warned me because, they have a very particular voice. Nobody talks like them. Nobody speaks like them. I always know it's them. Although the pretenders, I've had pretenders try to come in, but I always do my test and they have to go away because this is the planet of free will. And the Pleiadians always show up. And I would talk to them. You go into alpha state, you know that, right? Which is why I walk so much. Alpha state, the best way to get into alpha state is walking and gardening too. So she said there will come a time when they'll just tell you, they'll just deliver information. And it'll fall in like a piece in your head. And they started doing that. I noticed it. I would just, whoa. I would just know things. And I knew where it came from. As soon as I started working on the book, and she's been, I wrote the book record time because I was just channeling the book. I was like, all right, where do I start? And she starts talking. I'm just there, sitting there writing. In fact, I had a yogi show up at one. No. What did she call herself? A giri show up at one of my. One of my breakfast attendee showed up with this woman who had nothing to do with tech. But I write this weekly newsletter and she wanted to talk to me afterwards. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to help Bagheera, but what was she? A shaman. She was a shaman. I don't know what I can offer a shaman. I mean, this is an investor breakfast. She said, "Laura always sends me your newsletters." I said, "Oh, are you thinking about starting a company or a startup? Or are you just interested in tech?" She said, "I'm fascinated that you channel so many of them. Who are you channeling?" I said, "How did you know that?" I said, "Yeah, I do channel. Sometimes I just don't know what to write about, and I just there it is." So yeah, the book. Yeah, she was, and she. I started hearing her voice again because I was writing the book. There she was. So happy to have that back.
This book is your autobiography. I'm not sure we've.
I don't call it. It's not an autobiography.
Okay.
Just based on my experiences with a mystery school teacher.
Gotcha. But are you calling it fiction?
Why not?
Well, I so this guy Stefan Schwartz, he solved a lot of crimes using remote viewing. For example, like finding bodies and solving crimes and stuff like that. But he writes the write-up of the report as fiction books, just because there's a couple things that he can't validate scientifically. So he says, I don't want to publish it as a scientific piece because there's and he changes the names and stuff and publishes them as fiction, but they're essentially the report of the crimes that he solved.
I've done that too. Well, that's why. Oh, I didn't tell you that part of it yet. I told you I went to see a shrink when I knew that my father and I didn't know how to stop it. So I was at Columbia and I I went to see the shrink there, and she's giving me this Freudian shit. I said, "You don't understand. I love my dad. I love my mom. I don't have problems." I said, "This is going to happen. This is when. This is how. This is where. How do I stop it?" And she's giving me this Freudian shit. I remember it was Columbia University.
Why
So
did you think she could help you?
I didn't know who else to turn to.
Hmm.
I didn't know who else to turn to.
Can you share how your dad died?
He was killed in a quote unquote car accident. He was run off the road. But there was more going on to it, and that's all I want to say about it.
Okay.
He was involved in a very large dispute with the state of New Jersey. I knew they would, I knew he would, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. So anyway, so she kept calling me and calling me, and I didn't, I said, "You cannot help me anymore. What's done is done. I have nothing more to say to you." She said, "I want to talk to you." I said, I was just, I wouldn't have anything to do with her. So she showed up at graduation, tracked me down at graduation. Yep, she was that persistent. "So what do you want from me?" And she said, "It's your ability. There's an organization that wants to talk to you about your abilities." I said, "I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the NSA, and I have no interest in working with the NSA." She said, "How did you know?" I said, "You wouldn't be talking to me if I didn't know
Yeah,
that." I said, "I
well,
have no interest in working with those people. None. None. That's, I no. It's not what I do. That's not what my gift is for."
Bonnie, I think we could, there's a lot more that we haven't even touched on, but you've given us quite a lot of great stories. All these tech people that you know, you're channeling. Anything that I haven't asked you about yet that you want to make sure we cover today?
Oh God, there's a million of that. I
That's what I
don't
mean. There's a
know.
million things.
There's a million things. I can't think of it. I mean, on the entrepreneurial side or on the when your
Whichever.
kids tell you they have invisible friends, they're not seeing things. They're not inventing it. Children, we all come into this world with this ability to see things that adults can't. It's socialized out of us. Luckily, I had a mother who knew better.
I keep
So it
hoping that my kids will have invisible friends, but they don't seem to right now. But
how
you
old are
said
they?
you started channeling when you were four.
Oh.
My daughter's four, my son is six. So they're at the, sort of a still a good age that we practice telepathy and we do co-dreaming. We like share dreams. So that's pretty cool.
One of the reasons why I'm writing this book is because I'm going to teach everybody how to do what I can do. Everybody has this ability. I'm not special. Maybe I vibrate at a different level, whatever. But everybody has this ability. Everybody. And I will teach you how to protect yourself too. Don't send people out into the world without showing them how to protect. You don't send a kid out into the world without teaching them how to protect themselves. Tell the good guys from the bad guys, right? The
When's the
darkness from the
book
light.
coming out?
Oh, I'm still writing it.
Okay. All right. Keep us posted. And where should people find you online, or where would you like to point people towards?
Oh, well, I write this weekly newsletter called Startup One Stop. So, if you can do a, you can join in. I'm hello at Startup One Stop. That's me. That's where I am. And like I said, we're just releasing our new startup app. Because I've been at this a long time. I know what works, what doesn't. Frustrates me sometimes that investors can't see what I can see. But what can you do? They don't know that
Great.
I can see these things.
Well, Bonnie,
Oh, listen, I've been channeling since I was 4. Trust me on this one.
that's just put that on your business card.
It's funny. I had to go to the dentist earlier this week, and I am a very nervous dental patient. And I was seeing a new dentist because, here we are out in the hinterlands. And my dentist in New York had retired, and he'd been the same dentist. And I am such a nervous dental patient because I'd had a very bad dentist when I was a kid who never gave me Novocaine. How do you treat a kid? So I now have terrified of needles and terrified of dentists. So my dentist in New York would handle this by giving me a Xanax. And that's the only time I ever took. He said, "I just need you to calm, stay calm." I said, "All right." Because I kicked him once, not on purpose. So here I am, and I don't. Like, the only time I ever take a Xanax is when I go to the dentist, and I was so nervous, I totally spaced it out, totally forgot. Taking drugs is not for first and top of mind for me, so totally forgotten. Till I'm in the chair, and I said to the hygienist, "I said, oh my God, I forgot to take a Xanax." And she said, "Well, we can write you a prescription, or do you want to go home and reschedule?" I said, "No, I'm here. I'm not going through. I've already been, dreading this all morning. Not going through this again. Let's see if I can get through this. I can get through this." So, she started, and it's really not the, it's the noise,
Yeah.
the noise that gets me. So I'm sitting there, and I hear the noises, and I'm like, oh, I got to get through this. I said, how am I going to get through? You know what I did? I went into alpha state. I went and talked to the Pleiadians. I said, this is why. I said, I know it sounds ridiculous. This is why I'm calling you. And we talked. I won't go into what happened to me
So they
talking
were,
to them.
you were using them as a distraction almost.
I know. I needed to be on a different plane, and I wanted to hear what information she wanted to impart to me. I'm really glad I did it too. And then, so something out of the ordinary happened, even with her. And so afterwards, I said, and I always do my test. I said, I wonder if the Novocaine had an effect on me, or if that was actually what I heard and what she said and blah. I said, I need verification. I told her I need verification. So she sent me verification to the next day through
What
a
do you
phone
mean?
call. Oh, I needed to know that, because she sent me some, what do I call them, exercises and mantras to do. And she taught
The
me how to,
Pleiadian sent this to you.
yes.
Okay.
I said, I will do this. And I said, I need verification that this is real and that I actually spoke to you. And it wasn't that the Novocaine had no effect, that
Gotcha.
I was being clear. And she did send verification the next day.
Which was
I get this call from somebody who I know out of the blue. I haven't spoken to her in over a year, almost 2 years. And she felt the energy. So what? She's not even into enlightenment, or she's not even into that. She said, I got this thing from you, this message from you. So I had to call you. And she did. That's pretty clear verification.
It was because it was during the time of the dental visit, you
It
mean?
was the day after the dental visit when I said, okay, I need verification. I just need verification.
Gotcha. Okay. And then she called. Yeah. I think it's cool how you never know how it's gonna arrive.
No,
The
you don't.
verification or like the malaria thing. Like you why do I need malaria?
I said, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Over 300 people, three people get Lyme. I'm the only one with the babesia. Seriously? What makes me so special? And she said, you will see. We are protecting you. You are, no, she said, you are being protected. They never take credit. They just see things and know things. She said, you are being protected.
Good.
I said, okay, thank you. And always say
Well,
thank you.
oh, good. Yeah. Good reminder. Bonnie, thank you so much.
And I thank you
Fantastic.
too.
All right,
I hope
we'll
this was
wrap there.
helpful. Okay.